Praise God. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2. Amen. And we're going to just minister what the Lord has laid on our hearts today. Is that all right?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Everybody got it? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks for having everybody this morning. I love you, Lord. You guys, amen. Appreciate you. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Amen. They're going to blast us so far. We want you to give the Lord praise for his word today before we get into, amen, the message. Come on, bless him.
Hallelujah.
More than an experience. Amen. More than an experience. Look at your neighbor and say, it's more than an experience. Amen. We hear a lot about Acts chapter 2. Amen. And the story of Pentecost. Say, we hear a lot of sermons and messages on Pentecost, and rightfully so, because it's important. And for that reason, it's very familiar. Amen. To most people in church. And depending on the denomination, the focus of Acts 2 varies. So, depending on what the denomination is, the story of Acts chapter 2, the story of that Pentecost, amen, has a different bearing or a varied bearing, amen, on their faith. Amen. But are we missing something from the significance of the story in Acts on that particular Pentecost? Now, understand that that was not the first and only Pentecost. Amen. This was something that was scheduled or appointed already on God's calendar. Amen. So are we missing something from this? So the significance of this, amen, that on that particular Pentecost, this is the one that was following the Passover with the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. We know that he fulfilled the Passover, the being the Lamb of God. Amen. Fulfilling the feast of Passover. Amen. The first fruits, Passover, unleavened bread, and first fruits with his resurrection. This was not Pentecost, that was the one that came just 10 days after the ascension of this resurrected Messiah. We know that Jesus, amen, was out of the grave, and he walked among the people up until the 40th day, amen, after, amen, Passover. And he stood on the Mount of Olives, amen, and he made a declaration that he had to go away, amen, that it must be, it was important, and it could not be avoided, that he had to go away. So that Pentecost, amen, that came just after 10 days after his ascension, amen, where he reiterated, amen, unto them the promise of another comforter, amen, known in the Greek as the Parakletos, being the intercessor or the advocate, amen, he said, reiterated to them that I must go away, but I have prayed the Father that he sends you another comforter. Listen, who will lead you and guide you in all ways of truth. Now let me say something here. Jesus did not say who would introduce you to a denominational experience that would give you the upper hand on the gospel among your other peers. Come on, somebody help me. He said that I was going to pray that another comforter would come that would lead you and guide you in all ways of truth. Not introduce you to a special group of denominational people who will experience or have the upper upper hand on that particular encounter. So in order to understand, listen, in order to understand anything in proper context within the scriptures, we have to see it through the eyes, amen, of them that are writing the scriptures, as well as those who are witnessing what has been written about. Amen. We call it a worldview. It's very important that you understand that we understand the worldview through which the writer of the book of Acts is Luke. Amen. Praise God, who was the apostle, the disciple of Jesus. So when we, amen, see it through the eyes of them who are writing, as well as those who are witnessing what they are writing about, we're going to encounter, amen, the context, amen, from an historical perspective, from a cultural perspective, and from a religious perspective, amen. And it's very important, as the study of the scriptures has been done over thousands and thousands of years, we realize that this context matters. Touch a neighbor and say, context matters. I know that, amen, there are some, even in the same faith that I am, that don't necessarily hold to the fact that context matters. But I've come too far to look back. Amen. I went too deep into the word and the understanding through that presence and the power of the Holy Ghost that you cannot convince me that it is not important. And that when context is properly brought in, you can go from Genesis to Revelation and you can understand the whys and the hows and the what to's of what's being said. Are you with me this morning? Amen. So we got to see it through the eyes. So when we look, amen, through the eyes of the writer here, Luke, and we realize who Luke was writing about, those who witnessed what Luke was writing and telling us here in Acts chapter 2. You see, Acts 2 is a foundational event. Amen. This is where we know the Holy Ghost descended upon the followers of Jesus. And it empowered them to speak in different languages. Everybody say different languages. Amen. Amen. It is foundational here. It is a foundational event. Amen. It is the official birth of what we know as the New Testament Church. The church with a capital C. Amen. Not a building or an organization, but the body of Christ. Amen. It is foundational, this event in Acts 2. It's foundational because it was the beginning of the global spread of the gospel. For the first time, the gospel was now going to be spread abroad the whole world. It wasn't just going to be contained in the minds and the eyes of those who witnessed particular events, but now it was going to be spread abroad into the whole world. Amen. And also, it was the beginning of the outpouring of the Spirit that Jesus himself prophesied. Amen. As he reiterated in John 14, 15 through 17. Pull that up for me. Amen. If you would please. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and shall be in you. Amen. Jesus prophesied this time. And this in Acts chapter 2. And with me, I'm just trying to lay a foundation, but I feel the presence, amen, of the Spirit today. Amen. This was the beginning of what Jesus prophesied. This outpouring of the Spirit to where that as many that would believe would be called the sons of God. Help us today. Hallelujah. Now, when we look in Acts chapter 2, I just read to you the approach of the Holy Spirit was marked by three signs. Let everyone present witness. Say everyone there. Amen. Everyone that was there witness. Amen. The approach of the Holy Spirit. Amen. By these three different signs. Number one, by the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Number two, by visual tongues of fire. They saw, as it were, fire. Amen. On the heads of each that were in the upper room, believed to be about 120. Amen. They saw the visual tongues of fire. And number three, the third sign was the miraculous ability to speak in the language, amen, as previously unknown to the speaker. So those present, first the Holy Ghost came with the sound of a mighty rushing wind. The second sign was, amen, visual tongues of fire. The third sign was those who were speaking in a language, amen, that they did not previously know. Amen. And isn't it amazing that it matched up perfectly with God's calendar of holy days? So we understand that God had disappointed from the beginning. Amen. Listen to me. Do you understand today? Hallelujah. That God had said on his calendar, at this time every year, 50 days after Passover would be Shavuot, which in the Hebrew means weeks, because it was 7 weeks counted up from, amen, Passover. So it was the Feast of Weeks. Amen. Or Shavuot in the Hebrew. It's the word Pentecost in the Greek, because it means 50. And in the Septuagint, the Greek Septuagint, which was the Hebrew, amen, scripture translated into the Greek, it gets the word Pentecoste, which means 50. This is where we get the word Pentecost. This is why we call it the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost, Shavuot, began this past Thursday at sundown. It ended at sundown yesterday. This is why today in churches all over America and the world, today is Pentecost Sunday, depending on the time zone. But that's why that Sunday, so the Sunday following the, amen, the appointment on God's calendar, on our calendar, is always Pentecost Sunday. But Shavuot was three major pilgrimages, amen, in the festivals, amen, the counting of that 7 weeks, and then a day after Passover, amen. So 50 days, so Shavuot, or I will use both interchangeably, Pentecost, Shavuot, amen, was one of the three major pilgrimage festivals. Amen. That meant that there was a journey that was made to one place. Amen. Ancient tradition, amen, says that Pentecost or Shavuot signified the first spring wheat harvest. Amen. So there's a lot taking place right here at this very moment. So the timing of Pentecost was significant because all Jews from the nations all around the known world would be making a pilgrimage back to Jerusalem. So here you see the setup. You've got Jesus fulfilling the Passover. God, amen, setting the appointed time way back in Mount Sinai when the children of Israel came out of Egypt after the first Passover. God commemorating, amen, amen, when he gave Moses the law at Mount Sinai. Amen. It was exactly 50 days after the Passover. So we see, amen, that this happened. He comes down. Listen, he was there 40 days. Amen. Up in the mountain. But that first one, and from that year on, from that time on, God told the Jews, he said, I want you to keep these appointed times. These are holy days unto me. to be consecrated forever. So now, amen, years moving forward, here comes, amen, Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, who hung on the cross, was crucified, amen, became that Passover lamb, his blood, amen, now, amen, on the mercy seat of heaven, amen, there forever for the justification and the cleansing and the fulfillment of God's holy covenant. Now this is taking place, and here he is now standing, amen, on the Mount of Olives saying, I gotta go away, I have to go, because he's coming. Hallelujah. You get that? Who's coming? The Holy Spirit is coming. The Holy Ghost is coming. I gotta go away, but I got you to tarry here. If you believe what I'm saying, hang out, because of the promises for you to come. But he said, don't get discouraged. He's gonna lead you, guide you, comfort you, and always the truth. But I tell you, I will be back. As sure as you see me exit, I will return again. Hey, somebody, give the Lord a shout.
Hallelujah.
So the timing of this Pentecost was significant, because it had already been established at this time. This was one of the three pilgrimage festivals where Jews from nations all around the known world at the time, the world wasn't as big as it is now, wasn't as populated as it is now, but it says, Luke said, every Jews from every nation under heaven. So in Hitler terms, that's all over the world.
Yeah.
From all over the world, they had made this pilgrimage to Jerusalem, devout Jews. Are you hearing me? Amen. For the purpose of honoring Shavuot or Pentecost, they would bring their wheat harvest. They would bring the offering of the wheat harvest that would be brought. This is the Passover, and before that is about the barley harvest. Here they would bring both loaves. They would bring a loaf of barley bread and a loaf of wheat bread. See, the wheat bread, amen, represented, amen, one, and the barley represented the other. And they would bring both these loaves, amen, at the time of Pentecost, and they would offer them up unto the Lord, amen, as an honor, praise God. And, amen, that was significant because God was doing something, amen, and all that he was orchestrating, amen. So this means that this Pentecost, everybody say that Pentecost, amen, that in quotation, that's the only way I know how to, amen, emphasize it, that particular Pentecost, when that one had came to fullness, when it was the 50th day, this would mean that this would be witnessed from people from all over the known world. Amen. Tell me God don't know what he's doing. Tell me God didn't have that all figured out. Amen. Way back, praise God, before it ever took place. Amen. And they would take the gospel, amen, back with them to their nation. You got to get that this morning. Amen. So you got every Jew, you got a Jew from every known nation in the world, in the known world, that has made the pilgrimage to Jerusalem for that particular Pentecost, thinking it was going to be Pentecost as usual. Amen. Thinking it was going to be, we're going to do this, we got that, we know what we're doing and that. But suddenly, something interrupted, amen, the norm. Oh, touch somebody and say, God likes to interrupt the norm. Amen. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. Amen. There, amen. Now they're going to receive something that they did not even have any clue they were going to receive, and they were going to be taking it back to that nation. Now God was going to be gathering his harvest out of the nations. They thought it was just the wheat harvest. They had no idea when God, amen, orchestrated and set up the spring harvest and the spring wheat harvest, that at an appointed time on that Pentecost, that God was now going to be gathering his harvest from all of the nations. Now you got something that the enemy didn't count on, and hell can't discontinue. Hell has never been able to discontinue the gospel. There's a lot of books that go out of, amen, being published. There's a lot of things that get discontinued, but the gospel has never been able to be discontinued because it is life everlasting. It is the love of Father Creator demonstrated to all humanity.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah. Somebody, do the Lord a shout of thanks for the gospel.
Hallelujah.
What a beautiful vision. And if it stopped there, it would be wonderful. Right? But as beautiful of a picture as this was, I believe, now you know me, when I bring you, and I teach, and I preach, I challenge you, search it yourself.
Right.
I want to urge you to get deeper into God, into Revelation. Yes. Don't take my word for it.
Right.
Amen. Go into his word. Look, amen, at the word of God.
Yeah.
So as beautiful as a picture as this was, I believe there's another aspect that reveals an even larger picture of God's plan throughout the entirety of Scripture, from Old Testament to New Testament. What did it say? It said suddenly, everybody say suddenly. There came the sound of a mighty rushing wind. That means it was a, if you look at the complete Jewish Bible, it says a violent wind. So I have to imagine that this was much like a hurricane force, but even wilder than a hurricane. Oh, come on, somebody. And if you look at the complete Jewish translation, it says, out of the sky came a violent wind. See, we think it just came in the upper room. I don't believe that. I believe that the sound and the wind, amen, came in all the time. And it settled in that particular room. See, when we get the notion, when we hold to the notion that it came just to that room, we tend to confine God to the room. So if you're not in the room, you don't experience God. I'll preach on that later. Bye-bye every denomination that has been ever, come on somebody, you know my belief on that. Man-made denominations, not God. Nowhere in the Holy Scripture do you find a division in faith. It says faith in God. Amen. Faith in God. And you got to go all the way back to creation and believe it and put it all through to Revelation and all the other places where you find him. See, the reason that we like to confine it to the upper room is because we want to give the idea that if you don't have an upper room experience, that you don't know God as well as those who were in the upper room. But I've got news for you. I believe that they heard the sound outside the room before it made it to the room. Oh, somebody better help me in this place. Hallelujah. I ain't disrespecting anybody, but I have, amen, the understanding based on the scripture. And what is translated, amen, from wind, amen, from the Greek Septuagint. So from the Hebrew to the Greek, the Septuagint is the scripture translated from Hebrew into Greek. In the Greek, they use the word pneuma. Amen. It's spelled P-N-E-U-M-A. It's kind of where we get pneuma. pneumonia, amen, because it is, amen, of the lungs and the breath. But in the Hebrew, it is the word ruach. Hallelujah. That's why the Holy Spirit is called the ruach. The holy breath of God. Somebody help me. So hear me. It was the ruach of God that came from out of the heavens, wilder than a hurricane, that disrupted all that they were doing, and they didn't know it, and they were never going to be the same. Hear me today. Don't confine his presence to a room.
Amen.
Oh,
amen. Come on.
Go ahead. I'll put it in the week to shorten the minute next to me. It was so strong that it caused attention throughout the town. Not just in the room, but it was noised abroad. Can you imagine going about your business? You're already away from home. You've already made, now they didn't have planes, trains, and automobiles. So they've already made the pilgrimage from their nations, from the east to the west. Mesopotamia, Africa, all. They made that journey. And probably, if they were anything like us, they just wanted to get it over. Oh, here we go again. You know, I've got to go to church again. Oh. Come on, we all feel that way, right? Like, I don't always feel like coming to church. I don't always feel safe when I get up. But I got to tell myself, boy, you are a child of the King. You have been transformed, renewed your mind. The old man is dead. Hallelujah. The new man lives in you. Shape up and act like you know what you know. Come on, somebody, can you hear me? Hallelujah. I got to discipline myself. I got to work at it. It's a daily effort. Come on. So there they were, bringing their baskets and probably carrying, and everybody talking in the buzz, you know. And think of this now. All of them talking in different languages. So you had your groups.
Your sex, yeah.
Have you ever been, I encounter in at my job, I encounter a lot of foreign people. And it's always been. When I first started, I have a few coworkers that are, and I told my boss and said, they're probably cussing me out in Spanish. I hope they're not talking about me. I'm glad to do something, right? Come on. Because isn't it frustrating when you hear someone talking in different languages and you don't know what they're saying? Especially if they're laughing and enjoying your life.
That's what Google translates.
Or if they're going, come on. So understand this. Everybody was not together, but they were all there for the same purpose.
Right, right, yeah. One mind.
Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
And so you got all of this buzz, different languages, amen, 70 different nations.
Come on.
All speaking different languages. And they're all in their little groups, cliques, sects, whatever we want to call it. That's S-E-C-T-S.
Yeah.
When all of a sudden, out of the sky comes this hurricane force sound. Come on, I can't even imitate it. I ain't even gonna try. Are you hearing me? And it sucks them in the tracks. And something settles. See, the upper room was there in a building in the middle of town. Amen. Something settles. And they all start making their way. And those that were already there, they begin to look and observe because they heard someone talking
right.
in their language.
Right.
With a different accent. But they could understand what they were saying. And I'm looking ahead of myself, but we know the Bible says that they were hearing the gospel for the first time in their own language, because the Bible says that they were seeking the mighty, wondrous works of God. So I read all the way from Genesis to Malachi. Amen. The Holy Ghost, God is revealing. Amen. And where did it end up? With that one that stood on the Mount of Olives, who was the Son of God, the Messiah, crucified, resurrected. This is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So they're going, what the what? How is that happening? And when they look in and observe, the Bible said they saw cloven tongues. That is interpreted, amen, as divided. Amen, divided tongues they saw. Now that is, amen, in the Greek Septuagint. Translated from the Hebrew, that word cloven is the Greek word diamerzo. Amen. I practice saying it, and I had it down pat, but I'm out of swords. Amen. But it's diamerzo. That's what it is. You get it. Hallelujah. They heard. Listen, who heard? Who was it that was there? Who heard? The Bible tells us. We know that it was Jews because that was who was there. See, I think in our mind, we think there was other people. But listen, the Bible says, amen, that there were devout Jews from other nations. They heard their own language. So 70 known nations in the earth at that time, in that upper room, in 70 different languages, the gospel was being heard by the Jews for the first time. Oh, somebody better help me in this place. Oh, listen to me. You got to understand how powerful that is. Now, again, this is what I believe, again, based on Scripture, that those 70 nations that the Bible speaks about and that were there at that time did not include Israel. Israel wasn't one of the 70. It was a 70 nations and Israel. The word nations is translated to mean Gentiles.
Really?
So you have the 70 Gentile nations, and then you have Israel. But there were Jews in these 70 Gentile nations who spoke, who were born there, spoke that foreign language, but are now hearing this Messiah and his story for the first time. See, you got to understand that God just chose Israel as his mechanism in dealing with all the other nations. What did he say to them? He said, you will be a light to the nations. And the nations will come to me because of you. Not because of anything you've done, but because I have chosen it to be you. Come on, somebody. Can you hear me? You understand that? Right? You understand what I'm saying? You got to see this. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So you say, well, what do you mean? Well, the Jews had a Jewish king. His name is Yeshua. It's Jesus. He is the king of Israel. And every nation, every tongue, every tribe, every knee is going to bow in the end and call him Lord of Lords. Oh, somebody help me. We want to dwell in the place that God chose in the New Jerusalem. John saw it coming down out of heaven, renewed, restored, transformed, and we're going to be there. It's going to, oh God, it's going to give God back his Garden of Eden, and the whole earth is going to be as God created it in the beginning. Be floating with wings on clouds and eating bagels and cream cheese. We're going to be dwelling in the New Jerusalem, in the fellowship and presence of our Father creator. how it all plays out, I personally don't care. As long as I'm present. So this brings a connection deeper with the covenant of God going back to the Old Testament. Now, I want you to hear me. I've never, in the past couple of months in my digging deeper and digging, amen, in different directions and in the Word, and amen, and studying and resourcing and looking, I've never saw this in Pentecost before. And I'm not asking you to believe me, but I'm going to give you the Word of God, and the Spirit will bear witness with you and me, right, of the truth. Count on it. Count on it. Count on it. Listen, are you hearing me? So I believe that all of this that we just talked about brings a connection that's deeper with the covenant of God, going back all the way to the Old Testament. We know that God called Abraham, who was not a Hebrew, wasn't a Jew, he was a Gentile, he was a pagan. God called him out, right? And chose him to be the father of the covenant. God made covenant with him, right? And he said, out of you will come a people. A seed will come out of you, and they will multiply, right? This is God's choice. Why God chooses it? Because he can. There's no other it's just he can, and he wants to. Why in the world did he choose me? Thank God he wanted to. Because I sure wouldn't. I would have been on my list. No, come on, are you hearing me? You know I'm telling you the truth, right? So that word cloven, the Yam Erizo, is translated. It means divided. So that word used in translation here for diomerizo, or clothing, is also found in Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 8. It's not found in very many other places in Scripture, but it's also found in Deuteronomy 32 and 8. What is in Deuteronomy 32 and 8? It is where God divided the nation. You hear me? God divided the nations, and there were devout Jews present at that Pentecost from every one of those nations that God divided. Are you with me? So that same word for clothing, divided, is used here when it tells us that God divided the nations. Now, it also says in Acts chapter 2 that the people, these devout Jews, were confounded. This is a Greek word from the Greek Septuagint, translated from the Hebrew. Confounded is sunkeo. It's the word sunkeo in the Greek. This is also found somewhere else in the Old Testament. In Genesis chapter 11, does anybody know off the top of your head the story from Genesis 11? If you don't, it's the Tower of Babel.
Yeah, that's what I feel.
The very place where the Bible tells us that up to that point, they all spoke one language.
Yep.
But they began to build themselves a city, trying to reach heaven. In a sense, they were trying to get God to come down to their level. I know that they were trying to get to God, but pridefully speaking, they were trying to get God to come down to their level. And God's like, oh. And the Bible says that he confounded their language. And they were divided into several nations. He dispersed them into these different languages, or nations, all speaking a different language, so that they now could not communicate any longer one with another. So now they couldn't conspire and work together. This is how the Jews became exiled into these other nations. This is how it came about that there were Jews that were now in these other nations. This is how they were born into this language and into this their culture and specifically the language. So now you have all of these nations that are dispersed, amen, among the whole known world. They are spread abroad. Jews are in there, but the Jews are really God's chosen people. Are you hearing me? God has chosen them. Are you understanding me? So you see God's plan and God's idea. So now you've got all of these nations now dispersed among the world, divided among one another, not able to communicate, and every nation beginning to do their own thing. Amen. And the only way that you will be able to communicate with them is to learn the native language. Amen. So now we have two terms in Acts chapter 2 about people being enabled to speak in different languages. Now you've got two terms. Now you've got to look through the eyes of the writer. You've got to look through the eyes of Luke. I think Luke was trying to point to, amen, those who knew the story. Those who knew. See, they didn't journey from their nation to Jerusalem dumb and not privy to how they ended up in that nation. Are you hearing me? So now you've got Luke, amen, talking to some people that know the real story. They know when they have believed. Now you got to understand, amen, that there was other resources. They had other historical writings and books, amen, differed in what they believed, and all of this stuff would come into play. But my point is, amen, is that now you've got two terms in Acts chapter 2 about people being able to speak in different languages. That links us back to the division of the nations at the Tower of Babel. Does Luke want us to think of this reversing of the nations? This was a curse. Remember, these are Gentiles. These are people. These are nations not included in the covenant. Could it be that Luke wants us to realize that the coming of the Ruach of God was going to reverse the division that was among all the nations? Well, think on it for a minute. Here they are coming from their Gentile nation. These were devout Jews. These were Jews that held, amen, to their Jewish, amen, history and bloodline and what, I can't think of the word I want to use, heritage, say the Holy Ghost, amen. And now, but they don't speak, amen, the language of the Jews. Amen, they don't speak Arabic. They don't speak the Semitic language. They speak the language of the nation that they were born and exiled in. But now, here they come, and there is somebody, amen, in an upper room that's now preaching the gospel message unto them. Jesus is the Son of God. It wasn't about shake, shimmy, rattle, and roll. It was about God bringing reversal to the division that sin and pride had caused among his people. It was about the truth that God sent Jesus to save the Jew first and the Gentile. Yeah. Whosoever will, let him come. Let him come.
Yeah.
Wants us to think of the reversing of the nations. To think about that at all. Because get this, now the language barrier isn't going to matter. The devil has nothing. Nothing now. Keeping whoever will believe from hearing the truth of the gospel of Jesus, the Son of the living God. Somebody better help me shout in this place on this Pentecost 2026, because Pentecost was more than an experience. It was about the fulfillment of a covenant that God made with the world. God's having people supernaturally speak in these other languages. Imagine being that one. Speaking in a known language that you've never spoke before and probably didn't know what you were saying. Come on, somebody. But why? Why is God having them speak supernaturally in these other languages? If you look at the names of the places we it listed here, and if you go into verse 9 and 10 and 11 and go through, you'll see it starts naming off the names of these geographical places. And when you if you've got a map in your Bible somewhere, most Bibles have a map, but you got a map in your Bible at that time, look at it. It goes from east to west. I couldn't help but think as far as the east is from the west. Your sins.
Yeah.
I forgot.
Praise the Lord.
Come on. Yeah. But if you look at the list and look at it, it goes from east to west. To west, geographically. Some of these are literally taken from the list in Genesis chapter 10. The same nations that God divided and confounded their language. Others of these nations are going to be new because of the cultural Semitic language to the Greek and these kind of things. But when you look and study the history and study the scriptures, there are 70 nations. So we know that it's not limited. I think it was like 16. I don't remember. It was like 16 listings there of names and places. Amen. That doesn't mean that was just 16 nations. If you look at these places and the span that they go, let me tell you something. Take a look a little deeper, and then look at the works of Paul and see where Paul went. And see the places that Paul said, I have to go there. One of the places was Spain. Paul said, I got to get to Spain. Because God was going to make sure that everyone that was in the nations heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that it seemed like Paul believed that he wasn't going to die until he got saved.
So that
believing in that. So the people here are all Jews from other nations and were exiled because of idolatry. Right? Way back, God divided the nations. Literally, God divorced himself from these nations. Trying to decide what we'll say something. Oh, don't urge me. But he knew at some point that the Messiah would come, die, and resurrect. That's why he could divide them and divorce himself from them because he knew there was a restoration coming. He knew that eventually redemption would come. That's how much he loved the world. Come on. Are you hearing me? I'm telling you, he was Father Creator before he was God. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. We are created as children of God. Conceived in our mother's womb. But then on this Pentecost, the Jews would show up in Jerusalem and witness this event. God knew this. This is how he could divorce himself from these nations. Telling the story of the Messiah, how many believed from that one event? Bible says 3,000. 3,000 believed. They were converted and they took their experience back to their Gentile nations, now able to tell the gospel for the first time in their own language. You gotta think on that, people. The Holy Ghost is more than a tongue talker. It's not about, listen, I'm all about the emotion, the overflow, but we've got it way too high on the list. We've ranked it way too high. We've ranked the experience over the relationship. Come on, somebody, help me. This is my friend Joy. You know, rejoice. Joy is always listening. She don't have a choice.
Rejoice.
Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do to get through.
Right.
You gotta talk to the wall and you talk to the wall. Listen, you gotta do what you do, but we have been empowered.
Yeah. Amen.
With a comforter.
Hallelujah.
Oh, come on, somebody, do you hear me? So now they go home and they take this gospel. The reason why there was, this is the reason. Listen. Did you ever think about when Paul began his mission journey, right? And he got into those other foreign countries, and there were already believers there? This is why. Because these Jews who heard the gospel took it back to their nations, and by the time Paul got to them, there was already revival happening. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? Understand that. This is why there was already believers, converts. This is why there began to be so much misunderstanding over the Jew, Gentile, covenant, and all of that stuff, right? Still the same today. In Acts chapter 1, he says, you'll be witnesses, what? In all the world.
Right.
You will be witnesses in all the world. And he said, listen. Linda's not here today, but listen, Linda. Taken to the Jew first, then the Gentile.
Right.
Tell me that's not how it happened.
Right.
Tell me that's not how it happened. And then what Paul said? Paul said, I am the apostle of what? Of who? The Gentile. So you see God doing something. So the Jewish reader would see the gospel being taken to every place that the Jews are. Every place that the Jewish reader is going to see that the gospel is now being taken to every place there are Jews. And God using them. See, The Jewish nation, though, was still in exile. Understand that? And God was going to bring all 12 tribes back together. That's what we see happening in Revelation. God's going to bring all 12 tribes back together. He's going to heal this rift and this division that's there among the Jews. And the gospel is now seated in all nations.
Hallelujah.
You can't make that stuff up. So contrary to popular belief, especially in the charismatic and the Pentecostal denomination, Pentecost is not about speaking in tongues and shaking and falling and running and shouting and hooping and hollering. It's all good about it. It has its place. I believe we've had it out of balance, but I believe there's a place for it. You know me. I'm first and foremost. I still believe, amen, in all of it. It all has its place. But if that's all we do, we're missing the point. That's not why he was sent. He was sent to fulfill the covenant. I believe reverse the division among the nations to bring Jew and Gentile into one new man. And then empower all of those Jew and Gentile who would believe to walk in the authority and the truth of Jesus the Messiah. And he would bring gifts and fruit that only he can release and produce. Come on, somebody. It can be produced in us, but he will bring gifts and he will bring things that will enable us and empower us, that will make us further greater witnesses of the truth of Jesus Christ. But the gospel must come first every time. Every time. The gospel must come first. And I'm afraid we've missed it. I'm afraid we've brought the gospel message lower to where we can't find any joy unless we have the experience first. You know I'm talking the truth. When if the gospel truth doesn't bring us joy, there's no shout, there's no jump, there's no Holy Ghost bump, there's no experience that's going to make the difference. At the end of the day, when the rubber meets the road, it's the truth that will make you free. And when you love the gospel, you now begin to learn that the Father Creator loves you.
That's it.
Thank you, Lord. So God was going to heal this rift. Now the gospel is seated in all nations that Jesus is the Messiah of the nations and not just Israel. All.
Yes.
Who believe.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing? I just had this thought this morning based on seeing these two terms in Acts 2 that leads us to the Tower of Babel and to the dividing of the nations in Deuteronomy 32 and about the division and God reversing the division here, and that language would no longer be a barrier, that nothing would separate them from being able to be united together, and how that we fight over the Pentecostal experience. This denomination believes it's past and gone. This denomination believes it was for just that time of the birthing of the church and then it ceased. This denomination, amen, believes that if you don't speak in tongues, you are and cannot be saved. This denomination holds to that the experience makes you deeper and greater and closer to God. You know I'm not lying. To where we have the denominations So when God sees, when you say the church to the average person, even Christian, I'm afraid we see Pentecost, Align Baptist, Align Methodist, Align Presbyterian, Align. Are you hearing me? Are you getting the picture? We see division. Isn't it amazing that the very thing that was sent to reverse division is now causing division? It ain't God's fault. It's our fault. And I'm done with it. I told you that last week. Finite. Finish. Whatever the Greek word is for finish. Say that. Hallelujah. He's the all of Tav, the end of Tav, the end, the end of it. I don't even know if that is appropriate. Probably is that. Amen. In the context of the word. But I'm telling you, I'm done with that. Do you understand me? It is those things. If you believe in speaking in tongues, then speak in tongues. But if you don't believe or you're not understanding, amen, all of what God has done, I'm not going to show you or put a line and say, well, you, when you come to my side, then you can have my experience, because that's what we've done. That's how we preach. That's the leader. We may not have done it, amen, with ill intent, but that's what came across, and that's what's happening. But on that Pentecost, when the Ruach of God breathed in, he reversed the division, and now we can all come together in unity because of the Holy Ghost. Somebody better help me. There's no barrier. Free all expense paid access.
Yes. Yes.
Man.
Yeah.
What an awesome God.
Yes.
The enemy has successfully took that today and made it very, because really, a lot of that boils down to a lot of the division on denominations.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. You know, we got these over here, we think they cornered the market on it. Where they all shout alike, they all look alike, they all sound alike, they all say the same, they all speak the same tongues.
Hey, I have
to debate. Help me get on top of the truth.
Yep.
Come on. But when you understand, as you see it, I really don't know if I should tell you what I believe. But I think here in this instance I'm about to close. When you understand and you see the scriptures, and you see these things that are woven and how God revealed himself and what he did. He divided these nations at battle. The Bible speaks about sons of God, other divine beings, right? It does. At least I'm sure 96% of people probably concur. B'nai Elohim, the sons of God, divine beings. When God divided these nations, these other lesser divine beings, as we see in Deuteronomy 32 and Psalm 82, he, in a sense, disinherited them for the people, of course, desiring to get to heaven. And he placed these lesser divine beings, these other gods, to rule over these nations, to teach them to worship him, the creator, the supreme divine, their responsibility to teach them. But they became prideful and they desired the worship for themselves. So they became lords over this. And I'm telling you this for a reason. Help me. Yeah, I know you all agree. Some of you are just like, that's it. I'm writing him off. He's lost his mind. You're right. I don't ever want to fight it again. He sat by it. I want the right mind. But he kept Israel for himself. Are you see that? But they became corrupt and they began to demand worship. And they began to bring the knowledge of heaven and the knowledge of God. You begin to see all these nations develop how to make weapons and all of these. Where do you think all that knowledge comes from? And they're all enemies of Israel. Right? So this is how all of this. So here's my point is, you got to get the picture here. Because at this Pentecost, say this Pentecost, there was a release of every nation who had become servants under these other divine beings. Every nation, there was a release. Think on it. Never put it together until today again. And some of you already turned me off. I can feel it. Amen. But listen, there was a reclaiming of the land. Amen. That was split in Genesis 11. All of that division, right? That was there. There was a reclaiming of that. Tongues of fire that settled upon those disciples in the upper room. What happened? It began to spread like wildfire as they took the gospel back to their nations and they spread it to the Jew first and then the Gentile. It was more than an experience. It was a fulfillment. We sang that song this morning, I Am On Purpose. Amen. Because there's one line in that song written by Eddie James that says, I am. We know that I am is talking about Jesus, right? Amen. And going back, we know that we've got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, right? Amen. But it says, I am your Jubilee. I had an epiphany this morning. I never thought about it. But Pentecost, it came up 50 days. Amen. 7 weeks, 49 days. And then on the 50th day is when it came, right? 7 weeks, 49, amen, and then days, and then on the 50th day it come. Then I got to think it in Leviticus, where God said that there would be a year of Jubilee, and it would come, he said, after 7 times 7, amen, 49 years. He said, on that 49th year, I want you to cease, and on the 50th year, I'm going to do something. He said, I'm going to release every slave and every prisoner on that 50th year. We're going to get back the land that they lost or gave up. Somebody ever help me in this place. That all will be restored to its rightful owner. Bada bing, bada boom. What happened on that Pentecost? On that 50th day, God reversed the division and he brought back every slave and every prisoner that had held captive to those other gods. And he gave them back the land that had been taken and divided once and for all. That's why he said, wherever you sit, wherever the sole of your foot lays, it's already yours. Unless the Holy Ghost changes my mind, you'll never convince me me. I will never see Pentecost the same again. It's more than an experience. I'm not talking down, negative about any other service or any other church, but I'm telling you, 99% of the Pentecostal churches are going to be preaching Holy Ghost fire, shaking, shouting, rolling, miracle power, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's because they think that's all Pentecost is, but that is not even close. What Pentecost is the reason we can't shake, shout, run. Call somebody to your hearing. Be used in the gifts. See miracles, signs, and wonders. But when we put that first, we get it out of order. But when we get it right, then it's going to come. Amen. In spirit and in truth.
Yeah. Amen.
Can I have that old song this morning? Somebody already done like got the check off. So I might as well just give you another reason to check. That old song is more than a feeling.
Preach.
Come on.
I thought about that song all morning because of that. I almost thought this message is more than a feeling that I do. And I'm saying it word of my time. But I did. But it's more than an experience.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, God.
For God so loved the world.
Yeah.
And all the way back at that, he had that Pentecost in mind.
Yeah. Yes.
What a blessing. They asked me this morning, they said, because I told you last week, I was like, oh, what can we say for altar call? What's the song that goes with that goes with your message? And I said, well, today's Pentecost. And they're like, well, they're like, is it like the Pentecost? I said, probably not. It's probably not what you're used to when it's preached to you. Pick one, just pick one. I don't want you to think that I'm discounting anything about our experience. And God gave us feelings and emotions.
Right.
They are signals. He gave you a brain. And when an emotion hits, it strikes neurons and strikes in your brain. And your brain should be the place where you know what to do with it when it gets there. The problem is our brain's messed up.
Come on.
Our brain needs healed. So that when the truth hits us and strikes that Holy Ghost neuron, that when it comes to our brain, we know what to do with it.
Yeah.
And not waste it. Are you hearing me? Same with me all across this place. Have you ever seen the after effects of a hurricane? Like, watch the news or seen pictures how the same hurricane can hit in the same place, but not every place, not every area in that place is affected the same. How that strong, violent wind can blow through one city and it can totally take down a building, but leave one down the street unharmed, or barely touched. See, that's a suddenly. That's what the Holy Ghost can do. It might wreck your life, but barely touch mine in that moment. But then in another moment, he might wreck my life and barely affect yours. That's a suddenly. It doesn't mean that we all have to be wrecked at the same time. Are you hearing me? I love the Lord today.
Yeah.
I want to love you the way He loves me.
Yeah.
I ain't there yet. Right? I haven't arrived there yet. I'm still struggling on me. You personally, but you as humanity, people in the universe. Keep made it there. God bless you. Keep loving me till I get there. I want to love you all week long. I wrestled with this message. Thank you, God. I can't, but God, you know. And then don't you know? They left. They've been here before. The son more than the mother. But it walks in. I see a girl, but I may not graduate with her. I got married. And I know they come to the Baptist church. I have a bridge for a brother who's Pentecostal now in West Virginia. And so I know. But also, another bless, she got saved in the last 2 days. So she's not saved. So you know the name is God. Oh, wow, yeah. And I'll just say this. I'm doing it again, credit. And he said, now I'm going to go away from your faith and yield the spirit of time for you. Let's understand what I'm saying. But you know what? I love God more than I love my reputation.
Right.
Listen, you with me? I value my reputation, my character. You know what I'm saying? But God knows my heart.
Yeah.
My point is that God will. God will do. And He knows. And so I have to revert back and preach to myself in the 35 seconds that I see Him and I'm thinking, yeah. And my friends are like, God, what do you want me to do? Then I have to preach to myself that no matter what, God has this message here today for a reason. And she didn't show up on this Pentecost. Why can I say this? Right? Are you here? And she saved her the whole Jesus message. But today I believe there's going to be a sudden that happened in your life before you leave this place. It may look different on you than it does on me, but it'll still be a sudden. It'll still come from out of nowhere. It'll still come in a way that you didn't expect. All we have to do. So if you're here today, you're lost, you don't know Jesus. I want to encourage you. Say yes. Repent. You're struggling. Maybe you can find everything to another room. But God doesn't want it to stay in the rain. It started on the outside and came inside. And for that reason, you can leave the rain because God is still there. So if you're struggling today, maybe you need a son of God, but ask your colleagues and get ready to worship.